SBS Radio.
Good morning, Shane. I understand that we have to start with a lineup of news about the past week with a former member of Federal Parliament, Michael Dumby, a life in politics.
Yeah, that's right. He was the member for Melbourne Ports for more than 20 years, and he retired going into the last election. And in his first public speech with the Jewish community, he was special guest at the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, AJM, last week. And he certainly spoke from the heart. He said when he was asked about why he retired at this time, he said he thought it was a waste of time to be what he called a schlepper backbencher after serving so long. He said, you know, there's no definitive answer to that, but I was not going to be a senior minister in the Shorten government, so I didn't think that the things I could do or could say would be recognized for what they were. So that's one of the reasons he decided to pull up stumps. He spoke about the shifts in power over his two decades in Parliament. He said it was harder to sway the opinions of the media than influence fellow parliamentarians in Canberra. He said the change that I've seen in federal Parliament has been generally for the positive, whereas in the media, he said, it's been a different experience, adding that some journalists in particular, because of their anti-Israel stance, have sent shivers down some spines. He contrasted, for example, the ABC's former Middle East correspondent Sophie McNeil's extensive broadcasting of the Palestinian Shameshna family, who were evicted from their home, of course, in East Jerusalem in 2017. He contrasted that with her minimal coverage of the Salomon family, who were murdered during a Shabbat meal in their Jerusalem home by a Palestinian terrorist that same year. He said the juxtaposition drove me meshuggah. And he went on to explain how he actually took out two ads in the Jewish news highlighting this one-sided reporting. In response, Danby said, all hell broke loose all over Australia. It was like I had committed a crime, a war crime. He said every ABC executive went completely crazy, and I had wall-to-wall criticism on the ABC and, of course, no right to reply. Danby was far more positive about the shift he has witnessed in federal politics. He said, before I was elected in 1998, there had not been a delegation or an individual, even, as far as I know, from the opposition, from the Labor Party, to Israel in the previous 12 years. But now, regularly, more than 200 MPs and senators have been on trips, research trips to Israel. And he said that's led to a real quality of change in the attitude of people about Israel who make decisions in Canberra.
You know, Shane, I see on the Jewish News edition of this weekend something disturbing and very important statement by Victorian Education Minister James Merlino. Can you elaborate on that one?
Yes, James Merlino has announced last week that he expects an unreserved apology and a full public accounting from the education resources provider called Australian Council for Health, Physical Education and Recreation, after a controversy over how it handled a complaint against anti-Israel study materials. So listeners might remember that this issue erupted last month when Mount Scopus Memorial College senior secondary student Ramona Hrapot discovered a sample answer on a religious discrimination exam that stated, quote, an example of an individual being persecuted for their religion could be the Arab families living in Israel who practice the Islamic religion rather than the Jewish religion, end quote. So that was in the exam paper. And Mount Scopus principal Rabbi James Kennard raised the matter at the time with this company, but was dismayed when the organization, although issuing a recall of the materials, failed to offer a full apology or to explain how this false presumption had crept into its content. However, this week, the Education Minister Molino stated, I'm appalled by the way this company has handled this matter and its inadequate responses to the Jewish and broader community in recent weeks. He also said, I've been engaging with that company and I'm completely dissatisfied with their response, and I've made it explicitly clear to their president that it's my expectation that a full and unreserved apology is provided immediately.
Yes, and let's hear a little bit about Trevor Poulton, the figure at the center of a renewed storm over the Minister for Finance, Josh Frydenberg's eligibility to sit in Parliament.
Yes, well, this Trevor Poulton has actually quit the Australian Labor Party. Instead of appearing at a dispute hearing scheduled for this Tuesday, following a formal complaint against him submitted by Josh Burns, the Labor MP for McNamara. So Poulton is a lawyer reportedly preparing the legal case for a High Court challenge against Mr. Frydenberg, which was mounted by climate activist Michael Stadel. Now, the challenge focuses on Frydenberg's Hungarian-born mother, Erika Strauss, who arrived in Australia after the Holocaust as a stateless refugee. Poulton actually is the author of a 2012 novel called The Holocaust Denier, but he's rejected accusations against him that he himself is a Holocaust denier. However, in 2014, he advocated for diluting Section 18C of the Racial Discrimination Act to, quote, liberate the debate on the Holocaust. Welcoming his departure from the Australian Labor Party this week, Executive Council of Australian Jewry co-CEO Peter Wertheim noted that the UK Labor Party under Jeremy Corbyn has paid a high political price for recruiting and fostering members who harbour an obsessive hostility against Israel and Holocaust remembrance. So he said the Australian Labor Party is now far better off avoiding that path altogether, given the resignation of Mr. Poulton.
You know, we hear now about a project that is the most ambitious in more than 45 years, raising 2.25 million to refurbish and upgrade the shul to meet the demands of its growing congregation of HaMizrahi in Sydney at Bondi. Can you tell us about it?
Yes, so $2.25 million is the target. That's a very big amount. But the shul is aiming to transform itself into a hub for the entire Jewish community. And its rabbi, Shua Solomon, told the Jewish News that the shul has actually not been renovated in any way since the early 1970s. And yet the shul is experiencing a very big boost in its membership, especially in the last 18 months. And the figures, the growth figures look very good ahead. So they'll start fundraising for this. And what this project will do is increase the shul seating in the upstairs and downstairs galleries, the library. The foyer will be larger. There'll be a new hall, classrooms, a Beit Midrash. And all these things will enable the shul to cope with membership, which is currently at 100% capacity. And there are actually over 60 associate members currently on the waiting list. So, you know, this is a very good and maybe all too rare, unfortunately, situation for a lot of shuls. But Mizrahi Shul in Sydney seems to be booming at the moment. And so that's very good news.
You know, the Mizrahi community is always providing a high percentage of Aliyah to Israel. Young Mizrahi members and members of Bnei Akiva making their way to Israel to serve in various units, including serious elite units in the IDF. So with this report about the improvement of Mizrahi Shul at Bondi, we say thank you so much to Shane Desiatnik, our correspondent on behalf of Australian Jewish News. Thank you so much, Shane.
Thanks very much.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.